The time is now to open your eyes and see what's inside you. The time is now to raise up your voice and sing of His glory. Good morning, Boone's Mill Church family and friends. Welcome. And for you that are visiting, we certainly say a warm welcome to you too. Welcome to our Memorial Day weekend drive-in worship service. Now, I don't understand why politics should drive religion. It should not be about what we're constitutionally allowed to do, but what is best, what is wisest. Christian witness is all about generous behavior towards the other, and especially the vulnerable others. I would argue that the Christian community ought to be about thinking wisely and thoughtfully about when and where to hold worship services. And I think that is why the Boone's Mill Church is doing well during this pandemic. Larger churches that depend on big attendance are finding it an economical strain not to have their doors open whenever they want to and at whatever policy they want to. So they demand their rights even if it jeopardizes their members. Even if it jeopardizes the members' welfare. But the Church of the Brethren, which has always been more concerned about the wholeness of its members rather than how large the crowd is that gathers, we may be small in numbers, but we're big in spirit and big in heart and big before God. And I want to commend this church and its members for your generosity. At our church board meeting this past Monday, it was reported that we have received above budget giving each week, even during this time of closed-door worship services. Your support of the ministry of this church changes lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I want to personally thank you for your kindness, your generosity, your love, your giving, your encouragement. The church is not a building. It's a community of people who love Jesus and who love each other. So while we may not have been able to meet in person in the church building, we have tried to stay connected with people who care about us. We've done that through our drive-in worship services. We're doing that through our online website, theboonsmillchurch.org. We're doing that through our Facebook pages. And we're doing that through making phone calls, being in touch with one another. And let us continue that, and let us continue to pray God's guidance and blessings upon our church and upon our ministry as we go forward through this time. I want to ask you, do we have anyone here this morning who likes to fish? I see some hands, definitely. If you've ever been around fishermen, you know they have some wild stories about fishing and the big fish that they catch. And the more they tell the stories, the bigger the fish get, right? Doesn't that happen? I have a fish story to tell you today. And it's one of the great fishing stories of all time. In our sermon series on miracles entitled, Lord, We Need a Miracle, today we're continuing with that theme and with a message entitled, Lord, we need a miracle before we come up empty. And from the story in the Bible reading that we had earlier today, we will learn that this miracle story is actually a parable that teaches us what to do in tough times. The story today is about four guys who had a fishing business in northern Israel around the beautiful Lake of Galilee. And they were Peter and his brother James, and John and his brother Andrew. Now, they are not disciples of Jesus when this story is being told. But they've been out all night fishing on the Sea of Galilee, and they've caught nothing. They come ashore, cleansing their net on the shore, and they're tired, and they're sleepy, and they're discouraged. And Jesus comes along, and he's talking to a crowd that is following him, and he asked these guys who had been fishing all night, he said, "Can I use one of your boats?" And Jesus, you see, has been attracting large crowds that want to hear him teach. He's been doing miracles and healing people, and they're flocking around him. The crowds are following everywhere he goes. And the crowd is so large that Jesus can't really talk to all of them that are assembled. But Jesus, when he sees these two fishing boats, he says, "Let me get into one of your boats, guys, and let me push out a little bit from the shore so I can teach this large crowd from the boat." But do you know, more importantly than the fact that Jesus wanted to teach the people, Jesus is planning to do a miracle. You know, the Bible that we read, it said when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, he said, "Now, I want you to launch out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Now remember, these men had been fishing all night. And Simon answered, "Sir, we've been working hard all night and we haven't caught anything. I don't think there's any use to send us out to fish anymore." You ever felt like that? "I've worked all night. I've worked all week. I've worked all month and I haven't got a thing to show for it." What a discouragement. Sometimes this happens in life. Sometimes you work hard and you work diligently and you work long and you've got nothing to show for it. Sometimes you hang in there, you've been diligent, you worked hard, and all of a sudden a pandemic hits and you lose everything. You get laid off. You struggle financially. You worked hard all night and you've caught nothing. The fact is, this miracle has a lot to teach us because everybody's fishing for something. Sometimes we're trying to find somebody just to love us and care about us. Sometimes you're fishing for success, to get above the world. Maybe you're fishing for significance. "I just want my life to count. I want it to count for something." Everybody is fishing for something. And when these four fishermen did what Jesus tells them to do, they not only receive a miracle, but they're blessed more than they can handle the blessings. After they obeyed Jesus, their boats caught so many fish that they began sinking with the catch. And their lives are changed forever. Friends, now that's a fish story. A catch that changed their lives. But that happened because it was a miracle. Here's the point. These men caught more fish in 10 minutes than they had tried to catch in 10 hours of fishing and came up with nothing. The fact is, God can do more in 10 minutes in your life than you can do in 10 years of trying. God can do more in 10 minutes in your life if you will do it His way. Do what He tells you to do. What makes the difference? What makes the difference between coming up empty and being overflowing? Jesus says in the book of Matthew, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. You see, these fishermen did four things. They took four steps of faith in order to receive a miracle from Jesus. And you need to learn these steps of faith when you're going through the difficult times, when you're coming up empty in your efforts, when you need a miracle. Let's look at those four steps so that we might receive a miracle from Jesus also. Here's the first thing we need to do. And this is what Peter and Andrew and James and John did. The first thing, you need to give Jesus complete access to your life. You give Jesus complete access to your life if you want to turn from emptiness to overflowing. Notice it says, Jesus got into one of the boats and put out a little from shore and taught the people from the boat. Here's the starting point, brothers and sisters. You've got to get Jesus in your boat. You've got to get Jesus in your life. If you want to move from emptiness to fullness, you've got to have Jesus on board. Notice, they worked all night and caught nothing in 10 hours. Now in 10 minutes, they're catching more than they can handle. Well, what's the difference here? It's the same lake. It's the same boat. It's the same nets. It's the same fishermen. It's the same partners. It's the same fishing spot. The only thing that's different between nothing and fullness is that Jesus is in the boat. Do you think that makes a difference? Oh, yeah. Jesus in the boat. Jesus in your life makes the difference. This is what Matthew 6:33 says. It says, seek ye first. Now, it doesn't say seek second or third or fourth. It says, seek first the kingdom of God, not seek comfort or satisfaction or convenience, but seek the kingdom of God first. And then all these other things that you desire will be added unto you. You've got to get your priorities right. You've got to get Jesus in the boat. When you do that, when He's in the boat, He'll take care of the other needs. Here's a question I have for you, brothers and sisters. Do you have Jesus where He's supposed to be in your life? Some of you are going through some tough times right now. And you're trying to take care of them yourself. You're trying to change things so that things will be better. The fishermen didn't need to change their net. They didn't need to change their boat. They didn't need to change even their location where they were fishing. They just needed Jesus to guide the boat. You see, that's the first step. And here's the second step to receiving a miracle. I admit that my efforts aren't working. In verses 4 and 5, it says, when Jesus had finished speaking, He said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon Peter answered, he said, sir, we've worked hard all night and we've caught nothing. Do you realize how hard it was for Peter to hear Jesus say this? You see, Peter is a pro. He's good at what he does. He's a professional fisherman. These guys are not amateurs. They're not weekend fishermen. They make a living at this. They know how to do this. But sometimes, even when you're a pro and you fish all night and you catch nothing, you need more than just your own wisdom and your own abilities. The truth is, they're doing their best. These are good guys. But friends, sometimes our best is not good enough. And sometimes there are situations that are out of control. You can't control the economy. You can't control the weather. You can't control a lot of things in life that will affect your life. You can't control other people or viruses or pandemics. Most of the major things of your life, you can't control. So you start thinking, I've tried so hard and it just seems to not make any difference. I've worked so hard and I've got so little to show for it. What do you need to do? You need to first do two things. You get Jesus in your boat and you admit that you can't do it by yourself. You admit that your way isn't working. Now that's humbling. The Bible calls that a time of bearing the soul. Here's the third step. The third step, if you want to see God turn emptiness into fullness, and you want God to do a miracle in your life, you obey what Jesus tells you to do. In other words, I must be willing to do whatever Jesus tells me, even if it doesn't make sense, even if I don't understand it. I must obey what God tells me, even when I'm confused and when I'm scared to death and I don't know what the outcome's going to be. I still do it anyway. I obey whatever Jesus tells me to do, even when it doesn't make sense. Jesus says in verse 5 of our scripture reading, He told them to launch out into the deep. And Simon said, Sir, yeah, we've worked hard all night and we've caught nothing. We've come up empty with our efforts. But, now listen to what Simon said. But, because you say so, I will let down the nets again. You see, that's the key to a miracle. Because you say so. Not because I think it's a smart thing to do. Not because everybody else is doing it. I'm going to do it because Jesus, you say so. Notice what Peter does not do. He doesn't argue with Jesus about what Jesus told him to do. He didn't say, excuse me, Lord, you're a carpenter, I'm a fisherman, you know wood, I know fish, I can know my job better than you, Lord. No, that's not what Peter did. Instead, what Peter did was to say, okay, I'm going to trust you. Here's a question for you, brothers and sisters. What has God told you to do that you're not doing? Some of us want God to tell us what to do. And maybe He's already told you to do some things, but you're not doing it. God's not going to tell you, well, here's step 3, 4, and 5 if you're not doing step 1 and 2. God is saying to some of you, I want you to be reading my word every day. And you're not doing it. God is saying to you, I want you to forgive that person and let it go and stop holding a grudge. And you're not doing it. God is saying, I want you to tell a friend about Jesus and the hope that is in Him. And you're not doing it. I don't know what God already told you to do, but just perhaps you know what God has told you to do. God is saying to some of you, you need to come this morning and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And the question is, will you do it? When you do whatever God tells you to do, you say, yes, I'm going to do this, but Lord, I'm doing it because you say so. You just say yes to God in faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Many people live their lives saying no to God, and they miss out on what God has waiting for them. Why is that? Why do so many people say no to God? Because it seems safer. There's no risk if I don't do anything. We live in this nice little comfort zone where we want God to bless our plans and bless our lives, but we're not willing to let Him use our lives as He sees best. We're not willing to go where He wants to send us. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you a little secret. One of the reasons God allows difficulties in your life is to force you to make a change, to force you into deeper water where He can bless you, to force you so that you can have what God wants to give you. God loves you too much to just let you stay where you are, just to stay the way you are. God loves you too much to let you stay in the shallow. Well, here's the first step we need to take. You need to give Jesus complete access to your life. Second, you need to admit that your efforts aren't working, that you can't do it all by yourself. And third, you must obey whatever Jesus tells you. Whatever He says so, you do it because He says so. And then here's the fourth step. The fourth thing in order to turn our emptiness into fullness. Step number four is, I expect Jesus to turn things around. If God tells you to go fishing, and then He comes alongside you, and He gets in the boat with you, and then He points out to you where you need to go to let down your net, do you think you're going to come up empty? I don't think so. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, the one who calls you is completely dependable. If He said it, He will do it. If God can control nature and the fish, like in this story, and obviously He can, He can take care of you right now, this morning. Whatever's going on in your life, He can take care of you in this pandemic. He can take care of you in any other situation. But you've got to do it His way. God is looking for people who trust Him. Notice Peter's reaction in verses 8 and 9. When Simon Peter saw this miracle, when he saw what Jesus had done after they had fished all night, but just in a few minutes they had filled their boats to overflowing, it says that Peter fell on his knees before Jesus. This miracle is the turning point in his life. Notice the real lesson that we learn from this story. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. Now, Simon was afraid. That's why he fell down before Jesus and acknowledged that He was God. He was afraid. But Jesus said, don't be afraid, because from now on you will catch men. Let me point out right here. This miracle is not about getting abundance of things for oneself. It's about God's purpose for your life. It's not about keeping a whole bunch of fish for you in some greedy way. It's about the kingdom of God and what God wants to do to bless others. He's getting ready to call these guys to follow Him 100%. And He said, I'm going to teach you how to do this so that the kingdom of God will be blessed. I'm going to teach you how to fish for men. I'm going to teach you how to change the world. I'm going to teach you how to be used by God to change lives and change companies and change homes and change communities and to change churches. Jesus says, I want to give you a miracle. I want to turn your emptiness to overflowing. I'm going to use you to change the lives of people. And this was the day that Peter and James and Andrew and John became disciples of Jesus. They left their nets and they followed Jesus. Now, God is speaking to you. God is calling you to leave your nets and to follow Him. Are you ready to do what God wants you to do? Would you pray with me? I want you to pray this prayer in your heart. I want you to pray this in your soul. Lord, I fished all day and night and caught nothing. And you know it, Lord. But today I want to start following you. I want to leave my nets and follow you completely. So first, Lord, I'm committing myself to you. I give you complete access to my life, to my job, to my marriage, my friendship, my bank account, my all. It's yours, Lord. Get in my boat, please. I give my all to you, Lord. I admit that things I'm doing are not working. What I need to do is trust you. And Lord, the things that you've told me to do that I haven't done yet and that I've put off, Lord, help me. I'm going to expect you to turn things around as I surrender to you. I give my all to you now. I just want to follow you. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.
The time is now to open your eyes and see what's inside you. The time is now to raise up your voice and sing of His glory. And sing of His glory.
The time is now.
And sing of His glory. Thoughts of our Lord and His sacrifice bring feelings of overwhelming gratitude into my heart. The time is now to open your eyes and see what's inside you. The time is now to raise up your voice and sing of His glory.
The time is now.
And sing of His glory.